And may we all indeed ring to God's praise as we walk by faith in the life that he has before us. Amen. I want to have a short teaching series with you right now, leading up to Thanksgiving and leading up to what, for I think almost all of us, is a busy holiday season. And I'm calling this Ready, Set, Go. Now, the Olympics are a little ways off. Maybe we're not as interested in track and field anymore. But whether it's drag car racing or it's track and field, we're probably familiar with this phrase, right? Ready, set, and then go. And the green light comes, and off we go. Well, I want to do this based on a scripture from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, like the readings we had today, is very focused on the end of times and how we live as we face the suffering that is a part of the end of times, as we face the uncertainty that's a part of the end of times, as we face the certainty of Jesus' return at the end of times, Peter talks about how to live. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, we have these two verses, verses 15 and 16. And I want to actually invite you to read this along with me from the screen. I hope you can all see that. Let's read it together. But set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you possess. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. There is a lot packed in to those phrases, and that's what we're going to spend time on there. Now, remember, ready, set, go. Did you notice some words? Let me put that back up there. That we should be ready to give an answer who ask us about the hope that we have. Now, I want to say, if you haven't, the wheels haven't spun quite to the one place, I'm essentially talking about evangelism. Rebecca Peipert once wrote that she said, evangelism makes both Christians and non-Christians have the same reaction. They get nervous about it, right? We get nervous, like, sharing my faith? How could I do that? I'm not a professional. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't have training from Billy Graham or Evangelism Explosion. I'm not like Pastor Howard, who has the title and training of evangelist. How in the world could I be ready to give an answer? Well, look at the whole phrase that's there again. Ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope you possess. I think I've told this story, part of my story with you, but when I met a young lady and went out with her on our first date, and I'm going to tell me about yourself, and I'm telling you about myself, and then she's telling me about herself, and so on, I could just tell there was such a difference in her life than in mine. Me with alcoholism and dysfunction in our family. Her with love and hope and joy in her family. Me with uncertainty about my future, and hers with excitement and hope about her future, getting ready to teach and have a career of serving others in God's name. And me without any sense of peace or purpose, but wanting that and seeing it in her face and in her actions and interactions, everything else. I asked her, what's different about you? In other words, I can tell you have hope, and I want to know what it is. You know, I wouldn't be standing here if she hadn't been ready to give that answer. Think about that. She was ready to give that answer. And I ask you to think also of the people we are likely to cross paths with here in the next month and a half, whatever, leading up to the busy Christmas and then New Year time. The people that we cross paths with who may also, in the harriedness and craziness of life in general, but then of the holiday season, might be looking for hope. Are we ready to share about the hope that we have? Are we ready? Not only then can we ready and be set, right? That's the other word, set Jesus Christ apart. And we'll talk about that next week then go and share this message that we want to do all of it with, as the phrase says, gentleness, and respect. Well, the thing we don't want to do is jump the gun. And I made whatever error I made in trying to get the video to run today. I would love for you to see this video of Usain Bolt, the world's fastest man, getting ready in one of the trials before his last Olympics. And when he false starts and disqualifies himself from the race. They tell him, ready, you know, take your marks, get ready, get set. And just before go, he jumps up out of his stance. I think sometimes we're a little eager ourselves to jump out and say something and do something. I can relate to that. When I was a brand new Christian, I wanted to try to argue one of my sisters into the kingdom of God. You know, all those things you think you know because you're studying biology, dear sister, let me tell you everything that God and Christianity has to say about all that. And let me see if I can pound the little hammer of God's word and truth to just make you believe in him. Can you take a guess how well that worked? In fact, in the 27 years or so since, I have yet to meet one person who has been argued into the kingdom of heaven. But I've met a lot of people who got hungry, who noticed peace in someone else, who asked about the hope that another person had, and when that person gave them an answer that guided them towards God, they set and sought out on that journey to seek the same peace, to find the same hope, to experience the same love that their friend had. We want to be ready and set and then go. Go with the people we're going to interact with in our work circles, in our social circles, in our family circles, and be ready to share with them and do that in a way that can be, I want to suggest, very comfortable, very natural. You know, ready, set, go. You know who was ready? Kind of makes sense, right? I would do that when it's sort of unfair. Jesus was ready. He was ready all the time. He was ready, in fact, so much so that the Pharisees and Sadducees muttered and complained, "Oh, this man eats with sinners and welcomes them." I think Jesus wore that as a badge of honor, quite honestly. He was always ready to welcome one more. Even hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, welcoming one more in the thief who was reaching out and seeking hope that he might be forgiven and might have a chance to be in heaven. Jesus was always ready. In our Tuesday Bible study, we studied a pattern by the way he did this. You can find this pattern in Luke chapter 5, but I want to just sort of, tease a little bit of that pattern for you in a minute. We'll kind of walk through that. But before we get to that pattern, Jesus was always ready, right? He was always ready to welcome someone. And I want to ask us, why aren't we? Now, you probably have some of the same reasons I do. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not trained for this. I don't know what I would say, right? We have those reasons that we give, that why we are not ready to give an answer. And those reasons, dare I say it, are really just excuses. I mean, if my uncomfortability, I can say to myself, well, as a trained chaplain, I'm legally not allowed to evangelize in the hospital. Okay, I guess I could pull that card when I'm in the hospital as a chaplain. But you'd expect if I was there visiting one of you as a church member, I'd be ready and able to share the gospel and the peace of God, right? And I'd be ready and able to do that with any neighbors. Why are we so hesitant to do this? One reason I think we're afraid of being those hammers, right? Like I talked about with my sister. Another reason is maybe we just haven't been trained a little bit. You know, for Usain Bolt to be ready to run that race, or for you and I to be ready, whether it's marathons or it is anything that we do, we get better at anything when we get a little bit of training. And so it's my hope over these next couple of weeks to give some of that training and to take away our excuses. So we really see that evangelism, that the E word that seems so scary, is as simple as sharing the hope that we have. You know what the word evangelism really means? It means to good news somebody. You probably never heard that used as a verb before, but to good news somebody. Like, hey, I just tasted the most fantastic recipe for macaroni and cheese mixed with truffle oil, and it was the most delicious thing I ever had, and I haven't had macaroni and cheese in 5 years, but this was the best of the best. Let me share the recipe with you. Wow, I was so touched and impressed by the sacrifice of veterans and those who serve when I saw the movie Midway, and I want to tell you about it. You should go see this. It's inspiring. That's something good you've experienced, and you're good newsing someone else. You drive down the road, and you see a police car, and you see another oncoming car. You flash your brights at them, don't you? Why? You're trying to give them a heads up. Hey, maybe you deserve a break today. You're good newsing someone. And if we can do that for police cars and macaroni and cheese recipes and any other thing, you know, sort of in general in life, I think we can do it about Jesus too, right? So let's maybe where we need to start is with repentance. Maybe that's where we need to. I've been too focused on myself. I think that's where Peter starts. You know, Peter was just sort of your average fisherman. Right, he's doing the average fisherman's life. He's very consumed with all things fishing, his fishing boat, his fishing nets, his fishing catch, his fishing income, everything involved with that. And along comes this guy, Jesus, who wants to sit in his boat for a few minutes so he can back away from the shore and gain some amazing natural acoustics to address a huge crowd that's speaking there that day. And when Jesus, in thanks to Peter, says, Peter, your nets look like they were kind of empty from last night. How about we set out in the water a little bit and let me help you get a catch? And when Jesus helps Peter get the best catch ever of his entire career, Peter's reaction is, I didn't deserve that. I heard you teach. I heard how great and holy you are. Lord, I think you should go away from me. I think I don't deserve anything from you. I know I'm a fisherman. Fishermen tell fibs, right? And I've done even worse than that. I think, Lord, you just need to go. Peter was repenting. He didn't quite say the words, you know, of I'm sorry, please forgive me. But his way of acknowledging, I've fallen short. And I think if you and I would realize we've left a few invitations on the table, we've left a few conversations undone, we've not shared our hope with some folks in need when we have the chance to do so, then we too have something to repent of. And it's a good starting point for us. Secondly, I think it's really helpful for us to have a model. How do I do this? You know, again, back to Luke chapter 5, when this encounter with Jesus that Peter had starts off with teaching, first of all. And it starts, then it follows with Jesus doing a miracle of him, this catch of fish. The third thing that happens is when Peter repents and says, you know, that he's sorry and asks, you should go away from me. I know I'm a hot, sinful mess, right? Jesus does not say, okay, I'm taking off, or you're right, you should go. He instead shows him acceptance and forgiveness. So we have teaching, and then a miracle, and then we have the showing of forgiveness. And lastly, amazingly, Jesus invites Peter, come on and follow me. I'm going to show you a new way to take your fishing skills. I want you to fish for people. Catch them with God's love and with his mercy and grace. Jesus gives us a model. Now, I know I'm not that great of a teacher, and I'm certainly, and you are probably aren't either exactly miracle workers, so maybe that formula of teaching and miracle and then showing acceptance and invitation, maybe that model doesn't quite work for us. But the little whisper that God's Spirit gave me when we were looking at this text together this past week was, why not try it in reverse? Why not try it in reverse? I'm halfway decent at inviting. You know, like, I don't exactly want to invite a neighbor. Hey, I'm about to clean out my garage. Why don't you come on over and help me? But I could say, hey, neighbor, I'm about to sit down and watch a football game. Come on over. Let's watch it together. Hey, neighbor, I'm about to, you know, try out this activity, and I just thought I'd invite you to, you know, come participate. Hey, coworker, I'm going out to lunch. Why don't you go out to lunch with me? And it's this simple idea of starting with an invitation, of caring enough in our disconnected society to say, hey, I want to invite you to do something with me and build a relationship that way. As we do that, as we then take the second step of showing acceptance, why don't we leave the miracles part, the third step, up to Jesus? That as they have that acceptance, whether it's they've accepted our invitation to come to a church service or something else or a barbecue, they experience that. Let God be the one that's doing the miracle business as we pray and ask. But it's really not that bad of a model for us. Last little thought, I think that we have this opportunity. This opportunity when people who study church things, whatever you want to call that, say 50% of the folks that you and I would invite to a church service coming up to Christmas time, one out of two of them, if invited, would say yes. Those are pretty amazing odds, aren't they? I mean, I'm trying to remember the batting average of our wonderful Lance Brigman. I don't think it was 500%, right? I think it was in the 300s. You have better odds than the Major League Baseball MVP of taking a swing and having someone say yes. So why not live out the invitation that we've received where Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary. Why not live out the invitation that we've received when he said, come and worship me in the holiness and the beauty of my splendor. Why not live out the invitation when he said, I have forgiveness and grace for all who seek me. Why not live that out and then even share it as we help others out? You know, again, I go back to the person who was ready to give an answer for me. And because she did, my life and my eternity was changed. And I just hear that whisper again from God saying, you know, real people, men and women you and I know or don't know, but every person we will set eyes on for the rest of our lives is an eternal creature loved by God. Jesus died for them, and that real person that you and I see every day of the rest of our lives is going to live either in eternity either in heaven or in hell for all time. And it just might be you are in their circle of friends, you are in their circle of social or family or coworker, and be the person that God wants to extend an invitation to them. Brian McLaren, in one of his books about evangelism, trying to say how this can flow very naturally, this kind of pattern that we've talked about, said this when he was presented with those statistics of one out of two people will say yes. He discovered as he tried to lead his church and grow in that, the people are more ready than you know. Ready for hope. Ready for acceptance. Ready for an invitation. May God help us be ready. Set and go. Amen.